Before we go to Genesis, I just want to share something real quick with you. Ephesians chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. It'll be familiar verses to you. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." If we jump down to verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I would dare say that the most important service of our week is Wednesday night. Wednesday night is a church that we come together and plead on the behalf of others, some for salvation, some for healing, some for direction and guidance in their life. We plead with God for our young people and children and those that are hurting and heavy-hearted. And I just want to remind you how important it is to... Wednesday night is just not just another service that we just kind of skip through. And on purpose, we take an effort and a focus in on prayer requests because we are in a spiritual battle. And the things that we fight against are spiritual things. And part of it is praying always with all prayer and supplication. Many of these requests we would not know about unless we share them with one another. So I encourage you to... I'm glad you're here tonight is what I'm saying. And this is probably the most important service of the week. And it maybe helps someone get to Sunday. Helps someone get through the week. Thankful for the answers to prayer that you share. And I really appreciate that. Back to Genesis. Book of Genesis is wonderful. It's the book of beginnings. First 10 chapters are, well, it's really focused on creation. Focuses in on Adam. Before we go any further, I'm so excited. I got fitted for bifocals today. Sarah, what do you think about that? Ecstatic. Say why? Is it bad? No, but I can't wait to not have to be able to take my glasses off so I can see. Like, that's going to be great. I'm excited about that. Week or two should have a big line in the middle of my glasses and get dizzy and sick and throw up on the, you know, all that kind of stuff as we look up and down. I'll figure it out, brother. I'm looking forward to figuring it out. Back to Genesis, Genesis chapter number 1, and all the way through 10, the focus is Adam. His sin, the consequence of sin. Say, what about Noah? Noah's a result of the consequences of the sin of Adam. And so it goes, and there's these covenants until it takes a strong turn in Genesis chapter 11. It no longer is about a man, but about a nation, the nation of Israel. And God establishes a covenant with a man, but he will establish a covenant with a nation, Abraham. When we're first introduced to Abram, that's his name, Abram. The Lord later changes his name. Starting in chapter 11, it takes a turn and focuses on Abraham, again, the nation of Israel, all the way through until we get to the Gospels. The focus is Israel. Oh, there's little hints of here and there of the Gentiles, and yes, they will do, they'll show up, but the majority of the focus is the nation of Israel, between the law and the kings and the relation of the captivity. Are they in captivity? Are they out of captivity? And that'll bring you right through the Gospels. At the end of the Gospels, at the end of the book of Acts, we have a transition to the Gentiles, and that's a different lesson. And there, the Gospel goes to the entire world, and we're thankful to be part of that. But from chapter 11 all the way through, its focus is Israel. Go with me to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. Abram's father's name is Terah. And the Bible says this in verse 31. "And Terah took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this great truth that you just kind of tuck away here. Lord, I pray you'd help us to make application personally to our life, that you'd help encourage us, and Lord, help lead us and guide us. Lord, I pray again as these principles are set forth in the Old Testament, we can make application to them even today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is about 4,000 years ago from now, 2,000 years before, about 2,000 years before Christ. There's a man, his name is Terah. He has three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Terah is 70 years old when he has Abram. Look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 26. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Right? So there's the three brothers. Abram, I had to draw this out. I don't think it's on this paper. I had a little family tree going, so I'm a visual learner. I can read it, but it so helps me when I map it all out. So here I wrote Terah at the top in three little lines. Bing, bing, bing. And the first one, Abram. Second one, Nahor. And then the third one, Haran. Well, Haran has a son. His name is Lot. Haran dies before Terah, his father. All right? So now Lot is without a dad but has a grandfather. Again, Terah. Terah takes Abram, his oldest son, Abram's wife Sarai, and Lot. So we have grandpa, dad, wife, husband and wife, Abram and Sarah, and then we have Lot over here, which would be the nephew of Abram. And they said, we're leaving Ur, and we're going, where does it say? It says, they went to go into the land of Canaan. So there they go. They're on the quest. They're leaving Ur. If you can imagine the map, we have the Mediterranean Sea over here. We have the Tigris and Euphrates River, the Mesopotamia over here. So they're over here. They are trying to get over to here, and they get, and they're on their way to this spot over here. How do you like that map? Can you visualize it? Can you see it? If not, just believe me. Thank you. At age 75, Abram, so what happens is they're on their way to Canaan, and they got stuck. So they're going from Ur to Canaan, they're traveling this way, and they stop in a city called Haran. Haran is actually the name of his third son. So as you read this, it can be a little confusing because both the name of the city and the name of his son are the same. But it says, and they came unto Haran in verse 31, right? So there they are, again, going from Ur, trying to get to Canaan, stop in Haran. And there they stop. At age 75, Abram and Sarai and Lot leave Haran and set out for Canaan, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So Terah, Abram, Sarai, Lot, they're coming here, stop at Haran, 75 years later, and when Abram, 75, starts to track. Brother Sutliff, how old are you? 65. 10 years older than Brother Sutliff. Coming over, and he's making the trek over to Canaan. Terah will stay in Haran for another 60 years. The Bible says that in the days of Terah were 205 years. Because he was 70 when he had Abram, and he lives there, and if you do the math, I had it all mapped out. So what's the point of this message? Be careful that you not get distracted where you're supposed to be going. Distractions of life are very frequent. They were going from Ur, and they were supposed to get to Canaan. And for some reason, they stopped in Haran. It doesn't tell us why. It doesn't tell us the details about it. It just said that they stopped there, and Terah never went any further. I have some speculation. I don't know what it is. We don't know what stopped them. We don't know if the wheel fell off the chariot, and they just said, all right, we're making home here for now. I don't know how it all works. Camel got sick. Blew a transmission on the third camel. We're out. We're staying here. I think it's peculiar, though, that the name of his son and the name of the city are the same, telling me that it's possible that Terah had some sort of affection, some sort of connection to this place. Although God called him to Canaan, he stopped in a city. There was some sort of connection. Maybe he just stopped there just because the name of the city was the same name of his son, and he just wanted to see what it was like. And hey, why not? We're traveling through. It's a spot on the way. Whatever it was, but he was supposed to be going to Canaan and stopped in Haran. Has that ever happened to you? Ever find yourself in Haran when you should have been in Canaan? Distracted in life. You know, the word Terah, it means delay or wanderer. Unfortunately for Terah, that distraction led to a permanent, listen now, a permanent lifestyle. God did not want them living in Haran. Say, how do you know? Because the very first thing he tells Abraham is get out of this place and get to where I sent your father, Canaan, to Canaan. The very first instruction, the very first interaction between God and Abram is to go to the next place. But in our life, distractions could lead to permanent lifestyles. Be careful that you not get distracted from what God has called you to do. Yeah, but it's comfortable here in Haran. We've made a home in Haran. It's easier in Haran. And you know what? Who knows what we'll find in Canaan? I promise you, if you go to where God tells you to go, if you do what God tells you to do, it will be the promised land. It is where you should be. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Look at verse 25. It says this, let thine eye look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It says here, what it pretty much says is, follow what God has led you to do. Do not get distracted. The devil will do everything he can to distract you. If you're supposed to be over here, he'll make this look enticing. If you're supposed to be here, he'll make this look enticing. For some reason, when we read about what Canaan is, why wouldn't you want to go to Canaan? It's a land flowing with milk and honey. We're going to read about the description of Canaan. But it is easy. It is easy in our life to get distracted. And we'll find ourselves in a place that we don't belong. And we'll find ourselves making home there. And then we'll find ourselves unable to leave there. Terah. Remember Lot? Lot's part of this group. Lot is the nephew of Abraham. Grandson to Terah. And he watched this whole thing play out. Later on, we're going to see Lot. And what does he do? Pitches his tent towards Sodom. Goes to a place, got distracted, goes to a place that he never should have been. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Be careful that you don't go to a place that you ought not to be. God moved Terah and his family. The Bible says, to Canaan, but for some reason they ended up in Haran. Hey, you don't want to be where God doesn't want you. Luke chapter number 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving. You know what she did? She got stuck in Haran. She got distracted from where she should have been. And it came to pass, and it came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? But bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part. You know where Mary was? She was in Canaan. She was where she should have been, which shall not be taken away from her. She was at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Jesus. And there Martha was back, and she felt like she was accomplishing that which she set out to do. And you know what? Martha got distracted in her life. And so many times we're headed the right course, but something pulls us off course, and all of a sudden we find ourselves living or doing or participating or even in a mindset, and we look at ourselves and go, how on earth did I stop here? It was just supposed to be for a couple minutes. We were just getting a quick meal. How many of you have ever found temporary housing becoming permanent, right? We're just going to live in this apartment for 1 year. And then after 1 year, we're going to buy a house. 6 years later, you're like, what on earth? No offense, Brother Rodell. None at all. I promise I wasn't thinking of yours. I'm sorry. What happened? We got distracted. Because life throws distractions our way. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When we think that way, it helps us not to get distracted. When we're thinking on right and pure things, and our focus is towards God, what do you want with my life? Rather than, I can make this work. See, God doesn't want us in Haran. He wants us in Canaan. The very first instruction that he comes to Abraham with is, get to Canaan. I'm going to ask you a very pointed question. Will your children need to finish what you didn't? God told Terah, take your family and I want you to go here. They stopped halfway. Hey, get to the promised land and stay there. If you ever find the promised land, why would you ever leave? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's read about the promised land. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Deuteronomy 8. Did I tell you Deuteronomy 8? Great. I'm doing better than I thought. Deuteronomy chapter 8, sorry. Verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Let's read about, this is the promised land. This is the land of Canaan. A land of brooks of water. Of fountains of depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Doesn't that sound wonderful? A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and a land of olive oil and honey and a land thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. So that sounds great. Where is that place? You know, spiritually speaking, that's a place of growth. It's a place of shepherding. Hey, you could have good animals in a place like that. There's fresh water. There are hills. There's food. You could raise a family in this place. You could really grow in the land of Canaan. It's the best place for you and I to dwell. It's the place that God has established for you to grow and to be shepherded in. He's got that waiting for you. He has that available, but sometimes in our life we get stuck in Haran. When God has Canaan for us. God has repeatedly proven and demonstrated that he is trustworthy. Has he not in our life? I'm telling you, to get to Canaan, though, it takes a little faith. Imagine There you are. You left Ur. How many of you like moving? Nobody likes moving. You left Ur. There you are. You've lived a number of years in the land of Haran. You've made friends and connections and whatever. And God says, no, I want you to go to Canaan. I'll tell you when to stop when you get there. You know what that's going to take for him? It's going to take faith. Fear will keep you from obedience and faith. 1 John chapter 4 tells us that. Go there. 1 John chapter 4. Hey, don't get it. If I could summarize the entire message tonight, it's this. Don't get distracted with Haran when God has Canaan for you. And when you find Canaan, that's the best place to be. Because that's the place you can grow. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says this. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know what Abraham did? Abraham just trusted God. He wants to go to a place you've never been to. Not me. There's no travel brochures at the time. No Google pictures. Can't find a hotel. There's none of that amenities that we have found so comforting, right? No GPS, just led by God. And God rewarded his faith. We see Abraham, and he comes into that land. And he does something strange. He finds Canaan, and then he leaves Canaan to go to Egypt. The land that is the hills and the mountains, the brooks, the rivers, the wheat, the barley, God told him, he said, walk over there, go check that out. I have all of this for you. He's like, you know, I'm going to go check out Egypt. Hey, when you find Canaan, don't go to the world again. When you find the blessings of God, why would you leave the blessings of God to go back to the world? Often as Christians wander into the world from the place of blessing, you know what they find? It's empty, it's hollow. I don't know if you've been to the grocery store lately, but maybe some of your favorite products are missing off the shelf. Oh, that's frustrating. And we think there's some magic back room that has all our stuff, right? Excuse me, sir, can you check in the back for this? Sorry, sir, anything we have is out, right? That's what they say. You know, I feel like that's Egypt. You get there and the shelves are bare. Man, I thought this was going to be so much better. And I left Canaan to come here to find it empty. Hey, be careful that you not leave Canaan to wander into Egypt. Careful that you not get distracted in your growth and in your walk with the Lord. Careful that you don't find yourself in Haran when you belong in Canaan. The devil will do anything he can to get you distracted. That's what he does. He does that because he wants you ineffective. Don't leave your kids to do something that you should have done too, right? Now, we certainly want our kids to go further in faith than we ever did, right? Trying to give them the best start possible. Trying to create it sunny. One less stink bug, sorry. Sunny and 70. We want to make it nice and easy to do right. That's the spiritual setting that we try and create for our children. Eventually, they're going to have to wander or walk on their own, right? It would be a shame if, due to our lack of faith, they had to finish something. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to start ahead? I just want to encourage you. Don't get distracted. Don't leave Canaan for Egypt. The world has nothing to offer. It's empty shelves. It's empty promises. Let's all stand. Appreciate you being here tonight. I encourage you to seek the Lord, walk by faith. Man, what a wonderful thing that we can ask God for direction and guidance in our life. I'm so thankful for that. You know what? There was something unique about Abraham. And what I love about Abraham is he just trusted the Lord. God says, I'm gonna send you to a place. And it says this, now the Lord said unto Abram, that's chapter 12, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. And he's like, all right, I'll go. Praise the Lord for that. What a great example of faith. And the Bible says, and he departed out of Haran. And there he finds himself into the land of Canaan, where he belonged. Praise the Lord for that. I encourage you not to get distracted. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the wisdom and the guidance that you lead us and give us each and every day. And Lord, I pray in our spiritual walk that we would continue to seek you. And God, that you would lead us and guide us. And God, we would find ourselves in the land of Canaan, spiritually speaking. Lord, help us to stay there. Help us not to wander into what this world has to offer, but be content with all that you provide. Lord, we love you. Watch over us now. Protect us, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.